and you had to sprinkle it. And if you didn't do it right, you had a problem. They tied a little rope to your ankle. Anybody know what that rope's tied to? You have a bell. You have a bell down there. Because if you are the high priest and you screw up, you died. And they had the rope there to drag your little body out. That's what I saw when I'm thinking about this idea of the law and the idea that we, maybe not you, okay, but we seem to think that we have to say everything just right. We have to do everything in a certain way. And if we don't do that certain thing in that certain way, seeing that certain thing in that, and you can let it go from there. The thing you can eat, the thing you can't eat, and the thing you can wear, the thing you can't wear, the place you can go or the place you can't go, and all these things. Right. Hold that thought. Last night, as we were watching the dancing, one of my very dear friends came up to me afterwards and said, y'all need to have some flags. Because in the dance thing that was going on, they had these beautiful, for lack of a better, flags thing that they would be waving. And I've seen that before a lot. And so they said, you know, you need to have those flags waving, and it would help in the idea of the praise and the worship. And I told them they can come and do that whenever they want to. And it was funny. And I was looking at that. The idea that what we do and the way we conduct ourselves can indeed enhance all those things. Totally lost in the story. Let's go back. We think we have to accomplish these things only in certain ways. And it's even that way in our praise. Obviously not much around here. But in so many churches, the way you go about things is going to be what produces the results. And sometimes that's true because you believe it. Jesus said all things are possible to the ones who believe. Sometimes because you believe it, quote, your faith is heightened by it, and your expectation increases, and it does actually enhance the effect of it, right? But you don't want to fall into the trap of thinking everything has to be that way, because again, what I said a minute ago, you take that away from the actual faith that you have in Jesus. Back to finishing up the Holy of the Veil. When I'm seeing this thing, I'm thinking about all this stuff. And the Spirit of God said, that's the wrong side of the veil. Do you understand what I said?
Say it again.
It's the wrong side of the veil. When Jesus gave himself for us, what happened to the veil? It was, quote, rent into from the top. And as I understand it, that thing would have been like 12 feet high or something like that. And very thick. Was rent from the top to the bottom. The writer of Hebrews said, opening up the way into the Holy of Holies. Being washed in the water of his word, being cleansed by his blood, we can walk straight into that Holy of Holies. We don't have to come with the blood of a heifer because of the blood of Jesus. We don't have to come in a special garment with a bell and a rope and making sure we don't touch anything before we go in there that's unclean. We can walk in boldly before that throne of grace. And not only can we walk in there boldly, we can talk to God about what we want so that we may obtain that chesed, that covenant loyalty, and find grace to help in a time of need. We can walk right in there without any fear because our righteousness is not out from the law. Our righteousness is out from faith, and that faith is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? How freeing and how wonderful. I was talking about love a little while ago. When you love someone, when you have that purposeful goodwill, when you love someone, you don't want to do stuff that displeases them. But you don't go walking around trying to figure out what it is that displeases them either. You understand the practicality of what I'm telling you? If you're living with someone every day, you know what pleases them, and you probably already found out what displeases them. And because you love them, it is, as I said a moment ago, actually probably 15 minutes ago now, it's love that constrains you. It's that purposeful goodwill that causes you to do or not do. It's not a law at all. It's love. And that's why the writer says, Paul said, there's no law against love. Once you're walking in that love, once you're in that idea, which again, you go to Ephesians 3. Paul said that your faith would be rooted and grounded, well-founded in what? Love. Coming to experience the purposeful goodwill of God, and again, hyperbolo, exceeding physical reality and human knowledge, so that into you may be filled all of his fullness. Y'all, that's crazy. Except it's true. And no, the natural mind doesn't get that at all, but you do. So let God just pour that into you. Verse 12, Galatians 3, and the law is not out from faith, but, quote, the man that performs these things will live in them, will live contained in them. The one who sets up law, now we're talking about a system of religious thinking. We're not talking about the law that Moses wrote down, okay? We're talking about you.